Thank you for listening to this DuPont Media production, available on all major podcast platforms. This is Rod Peterson on demand. Your comments make the show better. Send us your thoughts live on our Facebook channel to be the star of today's show. Can't catch us live? Hit us up on our other social media channels to have your say. For now, welcome to the Rod Peterson Show.
Hey, happy Monday, everybody. Welcome, welcome to the Rod Peterson Show. Good morning, Canada. Although, as we've learned with all of our Eastern viewers, I should just say good day, Canada, because it's not morning for everybody. And to Canadian sports fans around the world, welcome to the Rod Peterson Show. We're getting it rolling with hour one here of episode 174 of Canada's only live morning sports talk show. I'm the host, as the man said. He's the co-host, Darren Dupont. How are you, Dupes?
I'm doing really well. How good. Are you?
Do you feel like we're opening the lid on a brand new week, or we're putting a capper on a fantastic weekend?
Yeah, I was actually saying that. I got home last night. I'm like, I need a weekend from the weekend.
Yeah, you were too busy?
Well, not never, but it just feels like you just wanted some time to just kick your feet up, but not this weekend. I mean, it was awesome just to be go and being in Saskatoon. It was a wonderful weekend. So I do feel like, yeah, we have to recap the weekend. I feel like that's what it is.
It's a busy Monday show. Coming up on the program today, 10-year CFL or Grey Cup champion Mike Aboumeshri. He's in the building, and he'll be with us coming up in segment two. Grey Cup champion, BC Lions great Corey Banks will be with us on the program today. Calgary Stampeders blogger Ryan Ballantyne and Winnipeg Blue Bombers DB Malik Boynton. That's a whole lot of CFL for you. And as I look at the Facebook wall and the comments are coming in, Rosemary Dick says, hashtag, is it May yet? But we have to get through free agency tomorrow first. So I know people want to talk football. There's going to be a whole lot of hockey here and some lacrosse in this rollout for Flooring Superstores as we open every program with. But how about the Elite Eight show topics? Are you ready to roll?
Let's do it.
You jump in at any time, yeah. Whatever tickles your fancy. But CFL free agency officially opens 25 hours from now, 11 a.m. Central Tuesday, is when the bell rings, the opening of the market, and teams can start signing in the CFL. You're good, Abu. He's diving into the treats, not the tweets. Yet the treats from Perkin Taps, some great goodies over there, which we'll talk about later. So the Willie Watch.
Thank you.
The Willie Watch is on. Him saying this morning, the number one free agent on the market, that he might leave this decision up to his daughter. And that's our poll question today, which we will get with. It's regarding Willie Jefferson.
How old
number
is
two,
daughter?
His daughter's like three. Maybe so, not even that.
So pull out the slime, and you know, you really need to have, you know, instead of money, you need slime and whatever the kids are into. Abu would know. He's got kids.
Mm-hmm. Point two, talk about some Charleston Hughes. He's got tongues wagging all over the place. I was fortunate enough to spend quite a bit of time with the star Rough Riders defensive end on the weekend in Saskatoon. Led the CFL in sacks each of the last 4 years. He says he's got major news. Days away from announcing it on Twitter. We'll come around on that. Point three, opening week of the XFL. I want your thoughts, Abu's thoughts, and the viewers and listeners. Point four, the Kinsman dinner leftovers. For those that may have missed it, Friday night, I had occasion, actually for 2 days pretty much, to hang out with Ed Belfour, Martin Brodeur, Grant Fuhr, Bernie Parent, Glenn Hall, and the aforementioned Charleston Hughes and his teammate Brett Lowther. A lot of stories coming out of that. And I would be willing to just, I would rather just turn it over to you. Any questions you might have, I'd be happy to answer, because I don't know where to go with that other than to say it was a thrill of a lifetime. Point five, the Saskatchewan Rush won 9-7 Saturday night in the phone booth over the Colorado Mammoth. You were there in my seats. How'd you like him?
It was awesome. Yeah, great seats. It was a good game, too. I mean, great atmosphere. You knew the crowd. You know, I thought maybe it'd be down a little bit, and I don't know what the numbers were, and maybe it was down a little bit, but you couldn't tell if you were in there. It was a great crowd, looked awesome, pretty full. And they won, so it was really nice.
It felt to me like the biggest crowd of the year at the phone booth.
It did, and you thought it would be lower just because they lost the first two at home, and that's typically how it goes. But, no, I think they did a good job getting people in the door for this one, and I think this is really going to boost them now moving forward.
Point six, should we even do a free agency special show tomorrow? Should we even do it? Because once Willie Jefferson signs, it's wah, wah, wah. But we are going to do one. We discussed that.
Yes.
In our pre-show meeting today, we're going to go at least an hour long on Tuesday to recap the signings in the CFL. Maybe even longer than that. But we're going to go at least an hour. We're committed to that. So it's a three-hour show on Tuesday on CFL Free Agency. You're welcome. Point seven, and I just said this as I was watching ESPN this morning, the Raptors are really, they're really on a roll, but really only the Raptors fans know.
Yeah,
that in Western Canada, I'm sure all of Toronto is going crazy. Should the Raptors have more of a Western Canadian presence?
I would like to see it. I really would. When I do see what's going on, it's exciting. It's exciting to watch some of the national shows and shows in the States. When they talk about the Raptors a little bit, I've seen a little bit more of it lately now that the streak's at, 14 games, which is a best for Canadian sports, period. There was a list. I think the Calgary Stampeders had a 13-game win streak. Montreal Canadiens had 12, and it went through with the Jays. The best streaks, and the Raptors now have the biggest one. But they talked about, you know, who you could match up with the Raptors over a 7-game series. And they're talking the Clippers, the Lakers, everybody. And they don't know that there's a team that can match up with the Raptors in terms of coaching and strategy and depth over a 7-game playoff series. So that means something.
We're going to do our best to get to as many of your comments as we can. They're coming in like crazy, and that's why we do it. That, as Paul says, one of the forefathers of this show, we've found out there's an appetite for interactive television, which we didn't even know what that was till we started this. So fans have their questions, and I invite you to just keep asking them throughout the program. So hang on to your bingo cards there. My last point is number eight, James Franklin, reported, I think it was 3downnation.com, that the Saskatchewan Roughriders are one of the teams interested in signing James Franklin. We'll kick around whether that's a good idea or not. The sports doctor's watching from Winnipeg this morning. He said, can you please keep the green to a minimum this morning? We'll do what we can. You know it's a CFL-wide show, so we're going to try to please everybody. But when you do that, you know what you end up doing.
Yeah. Nobody.
Right. Not pleasing Zero. Yourself. My friend Brad Hussina, Army guy. He's the guy that gave me this helmet. He's watching from Costa Rica. He says, what's the chances of the Riders signing Dylan Wynn? I think pretty good, Brad, from what I hear, especially if Micah Johnson gets away to the BC Lions. That's what I've been hearing for the last several days, is that Dylan Wynn, the Riders are in on him. The Riders, I believe, had the best D-line in the CFL. Some may argue, but if they lose Micah Johnson, they'll significantly dip. Dylan Wynn would be a pretty good replacement.
Yeah,
it's all coming down to cash, though. I like what you got going on here, Clark. I like what you got going on. I don't know if he made this prompter bigger or what, but he's got two messages on here rather than just one. John Schmidt writes in, the Habs fan. Good morning, Roddy. I'm back from a little hiatus. Well, good morning, John. I'm starting to worry about you. Trent Bruner writes into the program. Norway calling. Great to see the Rush win over Colorado. I love that Shaq and Charleston Hughes are back with the Riders. XFL was better than the Mexican League. Go Riders and Rush. That's from Trent watching in Norway this morning, one of our 19 viewers in Norway. So there's my Elite Eight show topics and a few of the comments from the viewers. What do you got out of all of that? What would you like to talk about?
I wanted to get into the XFL, actually, because if I can find this here, our friend Matt Young over at CTV in Saskatoon.
I saw that very interesting tweet.
Yeah, he pointed out and he tagged us in it. It was a tweet from Darren Ravel. The XFL before kickoff has already surpassed ticket sales revenue for the entire season of the AAF, the Alliance of American Football. So they're good, I think. 1 week in, and they've already surpassed all the revenue that the AAF brought in. I think Vince is going to be okay. Now, their expenses are probably higher, a little bit more show here, a little bit more going on, but I tuned into it. We were watching a little bit of it in the coffee shop and then at Wendell's in Saskatoon. And I thought it was awesome. I really did. I thought, you know, it was cool. Steve Levy from ESPN was announcing the first game. The early game was on the network. The second one was on Fox. So you've got great, credible broadcasts. I thought the games look good because the one thing that came to me leading in was they're paying the quarterbacks 10 times what anybody else is making. Now, I don't know if that's fair, but let's say you're paying a quarterback $500,000. That means everybody else is making 50. But they wanted to ensure that you have good quarterbacking play and that the games were going to be competitive. And I thought it was good. I thought Cardale Jones looked pretty good. It showed his athleticism on a few plays. I thought it was an exciting brand of football. And on my social media feeds, I heard people talking about it. So that's a good thing.
They were talking about it all weekend long on social media. And the funny thing is the people that were poo-pooing it saying, oh, this won't last. This is bad football, blah, blah, blah. I think there were a lot of CFL supporters that have realized that this could be a serious threat to the Canadian Football League if it is successful and if it survives past a year. I was actually watching it on my phone in Midtown Plaza in downtown Saskatoon. Some kid came up, well, kid, 20 years old, came up to me, looked like he was working in Jersey City or something. He's like, what are you watching there? I said, it's the first game of the XFL, the kickoff. He sat down beside me and watched it on my phone. And I saw the first touchdown in XFL history. Washington scored it. But I can't remember the kid's name. And the only reason that's significant to me was that our friend Paul McCallum kicked the first ever points in the old XFL way back in 2001. But I can't remember the guy's name. But the point is, everybody was talking about it. And I think you would agree, good or bad, at least they're talking about it. When they're not talking about you, that's when you should worry.
Yeah, I agree. Any publicity is good. In this situation, you want people talking. So that's good. Nelson mentioned that they're smart. They sit a majority of the fans on the camera side. We'd love to see that in Regina and certain places. But they had 18,000 people or so or whatever it was at the game. So that was really good in the University Stadium. Didn't fill the upper deck, but the lower bowl, they kept them all down there. I thought it looked really sharp, really clean. So I liked that a lot. I love they took some innovation from our Canada West football broadcasts with the player interviews after scoring plays. That was cool. We've been doing that, but you don't see that at the pro level anywhere. And I thought that was kind of a neat thing that they did, the sideline interviews, except the guy missed a field goal. The kicker missed a field goal, and then instantly he's on the sideline doing an interview about why he missed the field goal. Not my choice for the interview, but it's innovative, so I like that a lot.
Well, it's funny because people are writing in, and I know there's a lot of people listening at rodpeterson.com/listen live, but one of the fun parts about it is the people that are writing in. Derek Lafrenny says, the XFL was okay, but I hated the replay booth thing. Wayne in Victoria writes in, he says, I liked their review system in the XFL, auto review of any controversial plays. So it sounds like everybody watched it, whether they may not all have liked what was going on. I didn't care that you could hear what was going on between the referee and the replay official. That's what they're talking about. Yeah. You could hear their conversation, which in the CFL, actually in the NFL too, you don't get. And that's why I can't wait to get Abu in here and get his take on this, because usually he is, if I'm black, he's white. Is that fair? You know what I mean? Polar opposite opinion. I don't want to hear what's going on the field. I don't want to know what's going on the ice. On the diamond, to me, that's sacred. And I understand that that is probably dinosauric thinking. And if this has raised the ratings for the XFL or even the CFL, then that's fine. But I think what's said down there should stay down there. Similar to what goes on between the referee and the replay official. But that's just me. I'm not saying I'm right and they're wrong, but that's my opinion. I don't need to hear that stuff.
Yeah, you know what? I like when they're mic'd up in the sense of grabbing cool clips and making cool behind-the-scenes videos, which we love. I don't know that I really am open to it yet live during the game, because the TV networks now have access to those live mics all the time. They choose when to put them up and put them down. So timeouts happen, they'll turn them up. You can listen in for a bit or turn them down. But you never know what's going to be said. So you don't know if it's good or bad or what it's going to be about. I like grabbing clips after and, you know, seeing what, you know, the old clips of Gronk and Brady interacting on the sideline after a touchdown and things like that.
That's cool.
Love,
sure.
Love that. But, you know, live in the game doesn't really do it for me.
So we're going to break. This is the rollout for Flooring Superstores and our friends, the Dickens over there at Flooring Superstores. They will treat you right. Trust me, we are happy customers ourselves. We got through the Elite Eight show topics. When we come back, Mike Abou-Meshrick will join us here in the bunker and talk about all of these things. I should mention that we haven't even brought up our poll question yet, and I think it's a really good one. It's a beauty, Clark, because Clark came up with it. Here, I've locked myself out of my phone. Have you ever done that?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I'm in. Here it is, the poll question for Capital Automall Universal Collision Center. Where will Willie Jefferson sign? Hashtag Willie Watch. Sounds creepy, but it's not. Will he sign in Winnipeg, Toronto, or Hamilton, or other? Again, Willie's saying this morning that he thinks he might let his daughter decide where he signs. Kevin Glenn did the same thing. It's not completely unheard of. Let his kids decide where they want to go. Winnipeg, Toronto, or Hamilton. Those are the top three for Willie. If you had a vote, where would you go?
Winnipeg.
38%, which leads, is saying Toronto.
Wow.
35% of respondents on Twitter saying Winnipeg. 14% saying Hamilton. 13% saying other. And it sounds like the Twitter trolls got to Holly Jefferson, Willie's wife, because she had to take to Twitter and say, listen, I'm only putting videos on my Twitter of what's going on because it's so cool. They went into Hamilton and the Ticats had the full court press on. They had a huge image of Willie in a Ticats jersey, right, on a digital board.
Yep.
Looked like Paul did it. And then was it the Argos or the Ticats took Willie to the Raptors game? And he sat courtside. Which one of those teams?
The Argos.
The Argos. So the Argos had Willie courtside. So she's putting this all on her Twitter, which is fascinating. So why on Monday morning does she have to take to Twitter to explain why she's doing it? I can only assume because some Twitter trolls were up in her face about it.
Yeah. It's crazy.
Man, why do these guys got to ruin stuff?
I know. It's disappointing. Really is. They're having fun with the process.
Because they can't be happy. People are jealous. That's what I believe that it is.
Yeah.
They're jealous that the Jeffersons are being treated so well. And how about this for Winnipeg? You win a Grey Cup with this guy. He's the defensive player of the year. My vote would be Winnipeg. Willie just seems like a fit with Winnipeg.
He does. Seems like he likes it. Seems like he wants to, you know, has some sentimental ties there too, would like to go back. But you have to entertain all the offers. You have to see the whole situation. It's a point where you look at guys who have families that are in the United States too, and they're gone for months, 8 months of the year or 6 months of the year. And even when you're on the road and you're busy all the time, it's hard on families. So sometimes you got to go to them and say, hey, where would you like to be? Hey, I'm going to play football, but if I can do this and let you kind of choose where we're going to be and at least do this for you, why not?
If I had a chance to talk to Willie, I would say go with your gut, and he's going to disappoint somebody no matter what. Yeah, I know Willie well enough. He's a highly, highly intelligent guy. He's also a sensitive guy. He's going to feel bad about letting a couple of teams down here. But do what's best for you, Willie, not necessarily the paycheck. But he will do what's right. The biggest breaking news of the day, however, just before we break, comes out of Montreal. As Derek Lafrenie has reminded us, we saw this earlier about 30 minutes ago, the Alouettes have announced they are reinstating their cheer team. They have bowed to public pressure, and they've done the right thing. So kudos to the Montreal Alouettes for bringing them back. It was just unconscionable that they would cut their cheerleading squad. We'll be right back. This has been the rollout for Flooring Superstores. Mike Abou-Meshrick in the bunker next. You're watching The Rod Peterson Show on Facebook Live and listen live at rodpeterson.com.
2020 has officially arrived. It's time to trade and upgrade at Capital Ford Lincoln. Trade up on a brand new 2019 F-150 Super Crew 4x4. They're starting at just $34,999 plus tax. That's savings up to 30% off. Plus, get 19% off all remaining new 2019 Ford Escapes. 4x4s are starting as low as $25,999 plus tax. Happening for a limited time at Saskatchewan's 2019 number one Ford store, Capital Ford Lincoln in Regina.
Direct West provides us with stats and analytics, and it's amazing for us to look and see that, you know, each year we're 10 to 20% higher on our Google leads. It's great to see the success that our locations are having. The Direct West app gives us an opportunity to be in one place for people to find any of our locations or our commodities. Without Direct West, we would have to be in multiple digital places. I would recommend Direct West. They're great to work with.
This isn't just a beer. This is a double-aged, never-back-down, full-of-heart Western beer. This is a beer brewed by 16 guys who risked it all. Original 16. Underdogs since 1989.
Laid back and kicking it, let's head back to the studio. Here's Rod.
Welcome back, everybody. Time for a Monday morning sports update. The Winnipeg Jets are 2-for-2 on their six-game homestand thanks to a four-goal third period. Kyle Connor scored twice as Winnipeg came from behind to beat the Chicago Blackhawks 5-2 at Bell MTS Place. The Boston Bruins own the NHL's top point total despite an 0-2 record against the league's worst team. Andreas Athanasiou provided the go-ahead goal and insurance goal to send the Detroit Red Wings past the Bruins 3-1 on Sunday. Canada's Nick Taylor faced increasingly windy conditions, a hard-charging Phil Mickelson, and his own struggles in the back nine to come out on top at the Pebble Beach Pro-Am. He'll now join Adam Hanwin, Corey Connors, and Mike Weir at the Masters. That's the most Canadians to ever play at Augusta. And two-time All-Star pitcher Charlie Morton says he regrets not doing anything to try and stop the Houston Astros from illegally stealing signs and relaying the information to their hitters during the team's 2017 World Series championship season. Charlie Morton's now the ace of the Tampa Bay Rays, but was also the winning pitcher in Game 7 of both the ALCS and the World Series that year. And if you believe that. That is your Monday morning sports update for Ballers Rec Room, Regina's newest entertainment destination, where it's Sunday, $10 free play all day for kids at Ballers Rec Room. Mike Abomeshwar joins us in the bunker. How are you doing, Shimu? Oh,
topside of wonderful. Such a great weekend. This is going to be a great show.
It already is. It already is. Yes, thank you. It already is. Yes. Of all those things that you heard us talking about in the rollout, what gravitated with you? Anything?
The fact that we always disagree on everything.
Yes, so, we do. No, we don't.
I was going to say,
you don't disagree on the fact that you don't disagree on everything.
That's the joke.
That was the, and it was supposed to be mine. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, nothing really. I wasn't listening to what you were saying.
That's funny. That. Yeah, you were digging into the Perkin Taps treats, which, by the way, the lovely gal that writes the jokes on the box, she's leaving.
What?
This is her last week. Yeah. She got a job downtown, and she's leaving Perkin Taps. And her joke on today's box is, what type of flower shouldn't you get your wife for Valentine's Day?
Forget-me-nots.
No, a cauliflower.
Damn, that's why.
So if you're going to get your significant other flowers on Valentine's Day this week, don't get her cauliflowers.
That explains a lot. Damn, but cauliflowers are so...
That's why you're single, tasty. Yeah.
Yeah, I agree. All
They're right. fresh.
Hang on, I should write that down somewhere.
So of all the things to talk about, point eight of my Elite Eight, I want to get your take on the Riders being in on James Franklin, Darren. Initially, I didn't think they needed him. You got Cody Fajardo, most outstanding West Division reigning player coming back. You got Isaac Harker, who you threw in a really a must-win game, I thought, in Week 18, and he won it. So throw some Rudy Poo, scrub, rookie in the number three spot, and let's roll. But upon further review, maybe you want a guy with some veteran experience like James Franklin if he comes at the right place.
Yeah, I don't know if he's... How old is he now?
James Franklin?
He's not too old.
No.
I think he comes at the right price, though.
Yeah, and I would agree with that. I think James Franklin needs some more time in a backup role to see the game a little bit, learn a little bit. Now, Cody Fajardo might be that guy. I really like the situation. When we loved James Franklin, it was him in Edmonton, right, playing behind Mike Riley. And you can see how a professional, how an elite quarterback goes about his business and the pressure's off when you come in. You got him mentoring you on the sidelines. And James Franklin became the we-need-to-have-him guy because he's the next guy. And then when he doesn't have that in Toronto and he's on his own floating out there in the middle of the water, he's got no support and he just seemed uncomfortable. he's got to be in a situation. I don't mind it. I think there's a lot there with James Franklin. I think seems to be a wonderful human being. He's always smiling, seems to have that right mindset. And I think he's a guy with skill set if he just needs a little bit more time to mature.
Yeah, I think he has the tools. He was just in Toronto. He was kind of, you know, put in a pen with a bunch of guys that were just like him. You know, yeah. They had a bunch of okay backup, maybe starter, sometimes quarterbacks in Toronto. And, you know, it was pick one. They had four of them. You could pick anyone and they kind of give you the same thing. You know, Franklin's been we always talk about Fajardo. This is his fourth year in the league. He sat behind some guys. He had a chance to learn the CFL game and learn how to be a quarterback as well. I think Franklin's kind of done that as well. He's sat long enough that he understands the CFL game, and I think he's going to be a really good backup quarterback. And I think that's probably his role. He can probably come in and I mean, this isn't 3 years ago in Edmonton, but I think he can come in and probably, you know, win a game or two or three if need be.
Well, maybe this is what's going to make our free agency special on Tuesday actually special, because Nashville from Saskatoon has written in. He says, I think BC will come in with a strong offer for James Franklin and they'll get him. Well, don't forget, BC already has Mike Riley. Where's Mike? They already got Mike Riley.
Yeah.
They've got Brandon Bridge. They signed him late last year with the idea of bringing him back this year. And I think Danny O'Brien, was that their third guy that they like so much in BC? That's not to say they won't go after James Franklin, but Franklin's going to have to go with whoever makes an offer to him and settle for what the money is.
I think Nashville wants BC to put all their salary cap money in the quarterback position.
Yeah, no
kidding.
Wishful
thinking, Nashville, but I don't think it's going to happen.
One thing, speaking of Saskatoon, you know we're very big in Saskatoon. It's almost insane. I would think Saskatoon potentially has overtaken Regina for viewership. I don't know why. It just has. More people, maybe. Waz is writing. You know the Waz. He says, Roddy, you must have the rats in quarantine. If I find the real big one, I'll send it down. I think it might be with the Halloween decorations. Cheers, pal. Here's what he's referring to. The Waz came down to my hotel. These two rats. And for those listening, I'm holding two plastic rats. These came from the Florida Panthers Stanley Cup run. These are right from BB&T Center.
Cool.
Yes. This one's actually got a tag on it. It's a tag rat. It says 1996, Year of the Rat, Authentic Goal Rat, Stanley Cup Finals.
Whoa.
Now, this came from the rink. See, Abu just said super cool. It is super cool. So I'm sitting there. Waz pulls these out of a plastic bag in the lobby of the Holiday Inn downtown Saskatoon Friday morning. Kelly Chase is sitting there. Kelly Chase, same thing. Former Blue and Blade. He's like, oh, yeah, they were throwing these things onto the ice. We all remember, right?
Absolutely.
He said they were scooping them up with the shovels, putting them in a bucket or like barrels, taking them back up to the concourse and selling them again.
Of course.
Smart.
So like 2-3 times they were sold, thrown onto the ice. So thank you, Waz, for the reminder. I had them in my briefcase. Trust me, these authentic rats from Florida in the 1996 Stanley Cup Finals. You kids wouldn't remember. Google it.
Super cool.
Let's go out on the video chat right now. Ryan Ballantyne sitting and joined the program from Toronto, the Stampeders blogger, and Chief Punk joining us today. How you doing, Ryan?
I'm good, Roddy. How are you?
I'm good. You know, isn't it interesting, and you're probably not surprised by this, we're a day away from CFL free agency, and it's very quiet in Stamps land, which I think is probably something the Stamps would be happy with, I would think.
Yeah, I think that's pretty much par for the course when it comes to how John Huffnagle treats free agency. I think they did make a splash with signing Sean McEwen, that's the first free agent I can really remember them signing in a good long time. Normally, what we see with the Stampeders is they stand pat with the players that they have. They try and sign the guys that they have in the room, and then they replace them with new players to the CFL if they can't find anybody. Overpaying on free agency is just not something John Huffnagle does.
So what are you going to be looking for when free agency opens on Tuesday morning at 11 a.m. Central?
Well, there's a number of things that the Stampeders need. If Juwan Breskison doesn't sign in the next couple of days, they're going to need a Canadian receiver. That might be filled in the draft now that they have the number one overall pick, but it may not be. So look for Calgary to investigate possibly the Canadian receiver market. Not that that's a thick market right now, but Juwan Breskison is kind of the jewel in that crown right now. And really, for the Stamps, it's all about depth pieces. So you might see some DBs. I know Siante Evans is out there as a free agent. We'll see whether or not he wants to return to Calgary. But there's not a lot of holes to fill in Calgary that they don't just fill with guys through their system and through scouting. Again, free agency isn't really a thing. I remember a couple of years ago, the entire PR team came over to my place to do the podcast on the night of free agency because they were so convinced that nobody was going to be signed.
Hey, Ryan, everyone's talking about Willie Jefferson. I know it's Winnipeg there, but I don't think he's going to be back there. And I know Winnipeg's trying to make another run for the cup and all that kind of good stuff. Once Willie signs, let's assume he signs somewhere else or re-signs. Who's the next defensive and domino to fall after that?
Coming into this conversation this morning, I would have said Jagera Davis, but he's off the books now that he's signed in Hamilton. Sean Lemon might be the guy, but I mean, he's traveled around the CFL quite a bit. I know he's a friend of the show here. You know, Sean Lemon might be that guy, a mercurial player that's kind of played everywhere at this point, but he's still good to give you 10 or 12 sacks over the course of a season. So he might be the next big name from a defensive end perspective. As far as the rest of the league is concerned, you know, Willie Jefferson landing is going to be a big piece. I was surprised to find out the Stamps even reached out to Willie during the process, but it sounds like Hamilton might be out of the mix now that they've signed Jagera Davis.
What's the situation with Derek Dennis right now? I know it doesn't look like he's coming back to Calgary. And what's the replacement look like?
Well, the replacement's Yukonbre Williams. By signing Sean McEwen, you move him into the center role. You move Yukonbre Williams out to tackle to play in that Derek Dennis role. The Stamps also re-signed Leon Johnson and Nila Cassitati to play tackle. Leon Johnson is a freak athlete. The guy's a monster human being. He's like 6'6", 3-something, and super like a freak athlete too. The guy can do standing backflips. So, you know, and he can also block. Not that you need to do a backflip as an offensive lineman. But Leon Johnson, Nila Cassitati, Yukonbre Williams, those are going to be the guys in the mix for the tackle spot now that center's locked up with McEwen.
Hey, lastly,
and as
Ryan,
far as Derek Dennis goes, well, sorry. Derek Dennis, I imagine he's just going to look to get paid. He's got another child on the way. It might be that stage, just like he did with Saskatchewan, where he chases the bag. I think it's going to be best fit with the biggest paycheck is going to be where Derek Dennis lands.
Any panic at all that Nick Fatty Arbuckle has gone to Ottawa and there's no safety net underneath Bo Levi Mitchell should he get hurt? Or what's the pipeline behind Bo at that position?
Well, Montel Cozart was the guy, the first guy that was the third string QB last year. He came in at some point during the season and usurped the third string quarterback they had at the time. Obviously, Nick Arbuckle was a great quarterback for the Stampeders last year when Bo Mitchell went down. And Bo is coming off of shoulder surgery here in this offseason that they say he won't be ready to kind of start throwing until late April, early May, which coincides nicely with training camp. But the hesitation is there somewhat. Honestly, if Bo can stay healthy, the backup's job doesn't matter. But the Stamps obviously will be looking out there. I just don't see them going for somebody with a lot of CFL experience, the kind of James Franklin types, because I don't see the Stamps wanting to commit that kind of money to a backup quarterback. I think with the restructure of Bo's contract here in the offseason, you see that the Stampeders are trying to be a little more cap conscious than they were last year. I know they got into a pinch last year, and it might have cost them down the stretch as they weren't able to really address some of the injuries that they had in the room by bringing in new players or targeting those kind of guys. So I think when you look at the Stampeders and quarterback situation, if Bo Mitchell's healthy, that's fantastic. If not, nobody knew Nick Arbuckle was going to be a great starter until Bo got injured. They just knew that Arbuckle was a capable backup in Calgary. With Huffnagel and Dickinson here, there's no real question that they're going to have a good guy.
You betcha. You do a nice job, Ryan. Thanks for this. Safe travels home whenever you do leave Toronto, and enjoy free agency.
Pleasure as always. Looking forward to talking to you again.
Ryan Ballantyne from the CFL Horseman podcast. And before we dive any further into the rest of our topics this morning, I gotta get everybody's attention. I've got so much stuff going on, and I was remiss, obviously, in mentioning the Rats, but they're now on the set. Thank you for pointing that out, Waz. And I also, the Rams alumni have been promoting this for a week straight. And today is the day of the auction. And Abu, I would invite you to participate in this. Saturday, April 18th, the Legends Series induction ceremony with the U of R Rams and their alumni. We will be inducting Bob Poley and Roger Aldag into the Rams Hall of Fame in their Legends Series. So what we're going to do today, and this was Chop's idea, Gary Bresch, one of the top guys with the alumni, we're going to do an auction throughout the program. All money raised today will go to the total that I'm trying to raise for Special Olympics Saskatchewan and the Law Enforcement Torch Run to have me dive into the frigid waters 1 week from today, Family Day Monday. It was supposed to be at Wascana Lake, Waskimo, and then you saw the Wascana Center Authority canceled Waskimo because of environmental concerns. Well, we're still doing the polar plunge. I'll be diving into frigid waters at Victoria Square Mall outside, out of doors, next Monday. So, again, 10 tickets at your table. I'll be emceeing the night. Bob Poley, Roger Aldag going into the Legends Series Hall of Fame induction. Steve Mazurek is the guest speaker and the celebrity inductor. Again, I'm the MC. It is at St. Martin's Parish, 4720 Castle Road. 10 tickets to the table. So write in on the comments, write in on the Prairie Mobile text line 306-840-8777 with your bids. 840-8777. Highest bidder at the end of today's show gets the table, comes to the event, and all of your money is going to charity. That's a pretty good deal, wouldn't you say?
Yeah.
And I can't thank the Rams alumni enough for doing this.
Is there an opening bid?
$100. You're down for $100. All right. Thank you.
$100. I got $150.
$150. Oh, we're doing the auction right now.
$167.
Here's the funny thing. Clark said a couple weeks ago, we might have to start a, what did you say, Clark? GoFundMe or some sort of online auction thing. And I'm like, no. We'll just do it on the Facebook wall. We'll just do it on the Facebook wall. And if, you know, somebody tries to rat on us and not pay, we'll publicly shame them on the show. It'll be so much fun.
Yeah.
Right?
I hope. So, yeah.
So we're at
$6 million. I just want to publicly shame me.
Exactly. $167. That's the bid right now from Mike Abumeshrick. So please write in, folks, and join us on Saturday, April the 18th, as we put these guys into the alumni series, and you'll see me 1 week from today diving into ice cold, potentially fatal waters.
That's an awesome event. If you like
football,
you
know, talk.
No, I've been to it a couple times. If you like, drinking beer, hearing stories from a bunch of guys, and yeah, it's a bunch of guys. That's a perfect night. Go there, have a couple beers with the boys, and you got to hang out with a bunch of hockey guys. So that's the only kind of downfall. But you know,
you do.
Well, the hockey and football community, you know,
they do come together. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, like oil and vinegar. But you know, we do come together and make a delicious salad.
So we're at $167. That's not bad. The tickets are only $25 each. So for 10 tickets for $250. You know, that's what you'd be paying anyways.
Yeah.
So we've got till noon today to keep this auction open. Throw in your bids. Maybe we'll put it over 2 days, depending how today goes. On the way today, by the way, we're not done yet. Corey Banks, BC Lions great, and Malik Boynton of the Winnipeg Blue Bombers. It's the Rod Peterson Show on Facebook Live and listen live at rodpeterson.com.
I've chased adrenaline my entire life. But I'm talking fourth quarter, monster hit, crowd losing it. Nothing beats the energy of a rush game.
At Prairie Mobile, you can get the phone you want when you want. All smartphones are $0 every day. With convenient locations across Saskatchewan, Prairie Mobile, your Sastel authorized dealer, has you covered. Visit us online at prairiemobile.com.
Universal Collision Center is Saskatchewan's premier auto body shop. Our extensive process ensures that every vehicle that comes through our state-of-the-art facilities is returned pre-accident condition and that every UCC customer experience is an easy one. We're certified to repair all makes, all models, and all luxury brands, and Universal Auto Spa offers full-service detailing packages to suit you and your vehicle. Plus, we're the official body shop of your Saskatchewan Rough Riders. Universal Collision Center, 3910 Rochdale Boulevard and 2355 First Avenue in Regina.
Bronco Plumbing and Heating has been servicing Regina and surrounding areas since 1978. At Bronco, we service all makes and models of furnaces, air conditioners, water heaters, and water softeners. Bronco also provides full sewer service, plumbing service, and duct cleaning. Call Bronco Plumbing and Heating today at 306-781-2090. Proud sponsor of the Rod Peterson Show.
If you're looking for radio that's got a great message, well, we've got it. LTD Radio plays the best of the 60s to the 90s, all with amazing stories about people right from your community. You can listen live right now at ltdradio.com, iTunes, Streama, and TuneIn. LTD Radio, music to build a better day.
Oh yeah, he's back. Time for more of the Rod Peterson Show.
Welcome back to the show, everybody. Again, the online bid is underway on the Facebook wall. Join us, because Dupes and I will be there, and I'll speak for Mike Abumeshwick. He'll be there, too, Saturday, April 18th.
I got to find nine other people to be there.
That's right.
This moment.
Legend Series. Put your bids in for the table, and all the funds raised today from the auction will go to the Special Olympics and Law Enforcement Torch Run, the beneficiary of the Polar Plunge. I'll tell you what. I don't know how you guys feel about this free agency with it opening 11 a.m. Tuesday. I my initial inkling is to say, listen, just wake me up when it's over. But and Abu's, it's turned into Mike Abumeshwick bobblehead day. But you can't do that in sports talk. You can't do that.
Now, you know what, Rod? Well, since they came up with these one-year contracts, I've lost all interest in free agency.
Have you?
Day. Well, because everyone's a free agent again. So, I mean, it's... You know, it's kind of fun back in the day where, ooh, which piece are you going to put in to that hole that's missing in your puzzle? But now all the puzzle pieces every year are thrown up in the air and you've got nothing really to work with, or half a puzzle. It's not, you know, filling a hole. It's like, okay, what? It's almost starting all over again.
Mm-hmm. You know? See it in NHL, you know, every so often a marquee guy comes onto the market. It's a big deal, right?
Yeah.
And it's like you don't often get a really high-scoring left winger that comes open in free agency or whatever it ends up being. But this kind of stuff happens every year. There's always big names available. But I still have some interest, for sure. I think the biggest interest is getting through it and then looking at what your team actually looks like. Because every team's got some significant holes, I think. That need to be filled.
All right, and this is just the trickle-down effect. All right, you kind of go and you see, oh, I didn't get Willie Jefferson, or I did get Willie Jefferson. That means I have to cut three other guys. So then three other guys get cut, and then they turn out to be better than any of the free agents anyways. So, I mean, just the turnover of rosters has got me turned off of it altogether. It's not special anymore. You're not building towards something. I think you should build towards a championship, not always be in the hunt. And I know not a lot of people agree with me there, but I like the building. I like having I like the GM being responsible for something, not like let's see what we can do this year with as many free agents as we can get.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I could tell you guys are geeked up for free agency because I didn't even have my thoughts out yet, and you jumped on it, which is totally fine. My point is, my inkling's to say wake me up when it's over, but on the flip side, you can't. You're hosting a sports talk show here, and it's free agencies. It's the biggest time of the year in the offseason, so I totally don't. Like the draft, I'm not talking about it because it's so boring to me. This is not boring,
but
I guess my point, see, there you are, jumping on it.
No,
so, like Jason Fichter at the Rider Prider fan page and all the people that are running, you know, news agencies, look at Dave Naylor, look at Justin Dunk. It's exhausting to follow every player's Twitter feed. Yeah. What, every player's wife now? Like Holly Jefferson, who I know Holly and she's awesome. I'm enjoying watching her thing, but I'm not sitting there hitting refresh. I just can't. It's exhausting. I'll let somebody else do the work.
I forgot about Jagaird Davis because everyone's looking at Willie Jefferson, and I feel like an idiot asking that question because, I mean, who's the better pass rusher?
No, I'm actually
not all hands
down. I'm glad you did ask it.
Right.
But that's why we need to do shows like this to remind ourselves, if not the viewers, as to who's available.
That guy,
who's
not. Davis might be a better pass rusher than Willie Jefferson. He just doesn't have, he's not Willie. You know, like that's what I'm talking about. You know, we're supposed to be the insiders, and I forgot about the best pass rusher, arguably. That's what I mean. I kind of lost my the XFL though. That's got a taste in my mouth. That
okay? I'm not done yet. Stay on point. Just
squirrel,
hang on for a second.
Look at all these squirrels. Oh, there's eight topics. Let's talk them all at once.
That's the problem when we get together.
Squirrel.
Yeah.
Where was I? No, but seriously. Brandon Bridge is a guy that I'm going to be watching for because he is a free agent. I've seen no announcement out of BC that he's re-signed. And by the way, before we jump to the XFL, squirrely, Charleston Hughes. I think he's just trolling everybody. And I'll give you a little example as to why. Friday night, I'm interviewing him at a VIP event at the Kinsman Dinner at 5:15 p.m., and I said to Willie, how do you feel about Touchdown Atlantic 2020 and the Riders playing in it? Charleston says, if I'm a Rider in July, I'll be excited to play in it. And Lowther and I looked at each other like, what? So an hour later, I'm on the main stage. Darren, you're in the room at the TCU place. And I'm like, Willie, downstairs, you just said, if I'm a Rider in July. So what are you talking about? What's your status? And now... And then he plays into the answer that's been viewed 10,000 times on Facebook and Twitter where he says, I will officially announce I'm back with the Rough Riders in 2020. I'm like, that's 180 degrees different than what you just said downstairs an hour ago. I don't have a problem with it, but he just reminds me a lot of Daron Carter, i.e. expert level troll. Just getting people worked up. That's my take on Charleston.
I don't get it. The attention seeker. Yeah, he's back. But that's. I mean, maybe that's another. That I got a little bit too many grays to be effective on what Twitter means to people. But I don't care what 10,000 people have to think about me, whether I get a heart or not. But that's what it's for. I mean, you can get 10,000 hearts. You do it apparently.
Likes.
I feel like an idiot. I feel like my dad or my grandpa talking about stuff that kids are doing these days.
I know.
But that's what it is. I mean, you know, we knew he was coming back.
Yeah, but there was just a little bit of you that didn't.
There was so...
Because he was playing it that way. And that's what I find fun. Not everybody finds that fun.
Well, it's interesting because free agent lists come out after the season's over and he's on the free agent list. And then somebody said he's not on the free agent list and he's on one list, but he's not on the other list. And then we go away to Houston... And all you know what breaks loose here because we don't know what's going to happen when Nick Lewis hosts. All of a sudden, he's bringing in Charleston Hughes and he's asking about free agency. And Charles says, no, I'm under contract for 2020. He says that back in December. So we think case is closed. He's under contract, right? And then all of a sudden, we're into the end of January and it's like, wait, is Charleston a free agent? You know, people have him on the free agency list and people aren't sure again. So we ask him on stage and he says, no. I'm coming back.
And then the next day he says, I've got huge news.
And the next day, I got huge news. It's coming in 72 hours.
Well,
you probably got in
trouble. That's what teams do. They get guys to sign contracts, and then they release them in the desert of February, that is the CFL season, right? Nothing's going on. A team wants to stay relevant. They sign one of their big players in December. And players going into surgery want to know that they have something for next year. So, I mean, I would bet dollars to donuts that he re-signed this before he went in for surgery on and reconstructed his elbow, you know. I'm betting he did that, and the team just wanted to wait until now to release it. Because what if they don't sign? What if the Riders don't sign any big names free agents, right? But we did sign Charleston Hughes, right? It's pretty transparent for me, but I'm a bit jaded by being
I know, but the question was he even going to be a free agent at all? Some he was on some lists that he was and others that he wasn't. But I'll just say this, because there wasn't, as far as me and Charleston and the Riders at the same time, it was only 1 year. 1 year in the CFL is a blur, as you know. You don't get to know somebody in a year. And then I was gone. He's still there, but this was the most time I spent around him. And it's like, I get him. When I say he reminds me of Daron, dare I say... off-field issues aside, a little bit of Antonio Brown. I'm thinking if you guys could all play on one team, I might throw you a boo into that group as an offensive lineman. We could have, if they had their own team, that might be the best thing because I would put myself on that group. And Chris Jones. Chris Jones could coach that team. I'll broadcast the games. We'll just have our own team.
They did.
Because people like us wear others out.
They called us the
Those
Ottawa
that aren't
Renegades.
Like us.
And Corey Banks is coming on in a bit to tell you a little about that. And he's someone that fit in just as well.
Literal Renegades. Right?
Talk to Eric Tillman about putting a bunch of Renegades together and see what happens.
But that's the thing. I thought, you know, maybe Tillman could be the GM of this team of Renegades. But I'm not sure if Eric would want to be lumped into this group with us. I'm not sure. Do you
that's
see what I'm saying?
Did. Yeah. When Eric built the Ottawa Renegades, I know he went across to every team and goes, that guy doesn't fit in. That guy's an idiot. That guy's the same kind of idiot. Look at this guy. Oh, my goodness. And he put a bunch of people together that were all just like-minded people and ballers. And 13 of us won the cup here in 07. So he did a pretty good damn job.
I would say, but did you guys do much winning in Ottawa?
No, and that's why
exactly.
That's why you got to sprinkle those players around, you know, because squirrel, everyone, if you have 74 guys chasing a squirrel, you know, you got to have someone. I always say there's you need a kite and someone to hold that kite down to the ground.
You can't have a locker room full of them. I totally
Kites
get it.
Kites are awesome though.
But that's, so why, that's why when people talk about my time with the Rough Riders, I was a miracle. That I lasted 20 years. Just so grateful to have had those 20 years. And now, thanks. On to the next
thing. Thanks for the memories.
You know what I mean? Yeah. And that's so with Charleston, it was just a lot of fun. And I get where he's coming from. But I guess the point on all this is he's now trolling people saying he's got huge news. My guess is that there is no huge news. I don't know. But enough about that. Abu, you wanted to talk about the XFL.
Oh, yeah, I was eating crow. I didn't think it was going to be very good. I thought the football was going to be subpar, and it was. It was great. It was good football. There was a couple players that I was kind of picking on, but for the most part, 4 out of 5 offensive linemen were really good. You know, 3 out of 4 defensive linemen were very good, and I think that's where you're going to see the difference on the lines and in the defensive secondary as well. I didn't realize that the quarterbacks were getting paid 10 times as much as an offensive lineman. I'm like, what the heck? But it makes sense if you got good quarterback, because now you're making backup NFL quarterback money, right? Mm-hmm. Now you've got a decision. Do I want to go to this tier 4 league, or do I want to be a backup practice roster guy making half as much money? No, you go to the or a quarter as much money, or even less. You're making pennies,
right?
So you go to this league, the quarterback play, I don't even know if they ran the ball more than, you know, 10% of the time. Seems like every game that I saw, they run.
Well, and I watched my beloved
Tampa Bay
Vipers. I finally learned their name. The Tampa,
Yeesh.
That was the worst game.
Yeesh,
oh,
boy,
I gotta
Tress.
Pick another team. They're interviewing Tress,
the
and I'm
Renegades,
like, flashbacks. No quarterback, awful offense, and Mark's got to answer for it.
Yeah.
Where have we seen this movie before? Chicago, Toronto.
But he's the
poor
quarterback
guy.
Whisperer, so come
Supposed
on,
to
man.
Be.
Yeah, come on, man.
Yeah, but
maybe
that's
he can
what
whisper
happens.
AC that's out of retirement.
When that was funny. When you're in earlier on in your career, when you're eating scraps and doing the best you can, maybe he's getting fat. All of us, it's human nature once you get on top to kind of chill a little bit. Maybe that's what it is. I don't think so. I'm just kidding.
I don't know.
Dallas Renegades.
Yep.
That's my team. I thought you would be too.
Well, I was cheering for Trust.
Renegades.
That's it.
Yeah, it was hard not to feel bad for him.
Mm-hmm. They were 40 bad.
40-3 or something like that.
Yeah. Joe Lazito's watching from Long Island. Joe said it was tough to get into it because he doesn't have a team. Well, you do, Joe. The New York something-somethings. The Guardians. These love are some them. Bad names, by the way. The Dragons, the Guardians, the love Renegades.
Love the Dragons.
Defenders.
Why? Yeah. Because the Seattle kind of, you know, East Asian flavor that's in
well,
Seattle on
so
the West Coast.
Well, they so went back to old school names. I would like to have seen the Seattle Wave.
No,
you know what I mean?
The Battle Hawks? That's awesome, man. I want to get in a fight right now just saying it.
I'm just saying it's old school.
Battlehawks is a badass name. Defenders? Washington didn't seem like they even tried.
They didn't defend.
Hey, what do you want to call ourselves? I don't know. Defenders? What do you want our jerseys to look like? I don't know. Red?
Yeah.
Red and
very
what?
Boring.
No, I don't know. White?
It looks like
very boring.
What it looks like is no originality. It looks like I'm on like Madden or something, and I'm looking through generic. When I'm going to expansion team. You know, here's the different jersey combos, the standard, you know, 10 of them, and here's the just different logos. Yeah, and
you have to win 10 games so that your red and white uniform can be outlined in black.
Yeah, it's
you
know? The names that are already in the pot all the time. It's nothing unique and special to your city or your history.
Those were horrible, but for the most part, I thought that everything. That, what were the ones the the blue uniforms playing. Who played Dallas yesterday? The blue uniforms with the wings on the helmet. Man, that was badass.
The Houston Roughnecks. I mean, they go back to the Houston Oilers with the oil derrick on the side
right?
of the helmet.
Yeah.
That was kind of cool. I didn't mind that.
It wasn't neat. Horrible,
but
let's put it that horrible. Way. But Robin, you know hang on. Robin in Prince Albert writes and he says, "Rod, the Seattle Wave. Come on, LOL."
Can we not have an opinion without getting jumped on?
I also like names without an S in the end.
You know, that's why I'm saying it, Seattle Wave.
When we were kids, there was that riddle, name five teams without an S at the end.
And
there
the
was
the Sox, the Heat.
Sox, yeah, the Jazz.
Heat, Magic. Jazz.
The Heat was the new one.
Somebody just asked me that the other day. Yeah.
It was before the Heat and the Magic, but it was five. I don't remember what it was.
The but Mammoth. Anyways,
that's new. That's all new stuff, right? Yeah.
Three in the NHL.
But what's new now is retro, i.e. Battle Hawks, Guardians, Dragons, Vipers.
When I was a kid, I was the baseball stars. My team was the Orlando Blaze, and I thought that was the coolest name ever. For other reasons as I grew older, but I thought Blaze would be super flashy
and
cool.
Oh my gosh. Now it's old. Now it's old.
Copyright, hey, Orlando teams, you can use it, but holler.
Did I get your opinion, Abu, on James Franklin as a Ryder backup quarterback?
Yeah, I think he would be real good. I think that's what he is now. He's a good backup quarterback, and that's what we need is a good backup quarterback. Harkness? I always want to call him Dracula.
Isaac Harker.
Yeah, Dracula, that Dracula kid. He's what you'd want as a third string quarterback, I think. You know, because if Fajardo gets hurt, and let's face it, say probably two games a year for every quarterback across the league, just wipe two games off, or you're going to be injured 2 years. Franklin comes in, Harker comes in on special teams, special teams, third down back, use him for that kind of stuff, get him the experience and have him develop. Maybe he'll be the guy that develops into a starter. I don't think James Franklin is being brought in here like we thought of him 5 years ago to be developed into the next Ryder quarterback. Now he's coming in as a backup, and he's going to be the best Ryder backup quarterback ever, which is the most important person, most popular person on the team, as we all know.
Our viewers are jumping into like me and Abu's mind. They're all over just like us. Maybe that's a good thing. I don't know. Doyle Benson writes in, he says, the St. Louis Battlehawks, that's his team. Doyle says that Wendell Clark's was full Saturday and Sunday for XFL games. I know, Doyle, we were there. It was awesome. People were in tuned to the XFL, but they also promoted their ass off. Wendell's did, promoting that. So way to go. Michael Gregory writes in. She says, "Morning, folks." He says, "Morning, folks. Have a great day." He's one of those Alabama viewers, I believe. We're very big in Alabama. Did you know that?
Football.
Two of our top 10 cities
for
viewership are in Alabama.
Alabama should have a XFL team. That's kind of weird that they don't.
This is just going crazy.
You just have Alabama.
Can you put the comment up about Tecmo Bowl? The guy just wrote in about Tecmo Bowl. Do you have it? There it is. Reminds me of Tecmo Bowl and Blades of Steel team names from Kyle Halverson. Do you remember playing Blades of Steel?
I was almost late.
Do you remember that? Yeah. I just kind of get trapped in what decade I'm living in. I can't remember. Would you remember Blades of Steel? I thought that was an 80s thing, but maybe not.
They had a thing on NHL 94.
I'm so confused.
Today.
No,
that's
so
why I was almost late. They were doing a thing on TSN about NHL 94 for Sega.
Yeah.
Maybe the greatest game ever played.
Two last questions. Wayne in Victoria says, what are the options at middle linebacker for the Riders? Any chance we get Solomon back? From Justin Hagley, he writes in and he says, where do you guys think Darrell Walker will be going? I mean, honestly, that's just like throwing a dart to answer any of these questions. Because nobody knows. It's fun to talk about, but if we gave you an answer, we'd be BSing.
Yeah.
Because I don't think even the players know.
We need to break and come back for hour two. Corey Banks, Abu's former Ottawa teammate, will be with us. And Malik Boynton of the Winnipeg Blue Bombers. All coming up next. It's the Rod Peterson Show on Facebook Live and listen live at rodpeterson.com.
It's time to trade and upgrade at Capital GMC. We're ready to pay top dollar for your vehicle, and you deserve an upgrade. Check out this loaded, certified pre-owned 2019 Chevy Impala. Its Capital GM buyback resale event price is only $21,215 plus tax. That's half price from its original MSRP. Or upgrade to the certified pre-owned 2019 GMC Acadia for just $31,882 plus tax. Happening for a limited time at Canada's largest certified pre-owned dealer, Capital GMC in Regina.
You need to adapt and you need to move forward. You can't be stuck in 1920. Direct West is on the top of their game. They know what they're doing, how they're doing it, and when you work with Direct West, things are good. There's no going backwards, they're moving forward. My business would not be where it is today without the help of Direct West to help me with my website and my Facebook and all my online presence. I've worked with Direct West for about 10 years, and it's been a great experience.
He's covering everything that matters to you. It's the Rod Peterson Show. Tune in live Monday to Friday, 10 a.m. to noon to catch the show live and be a part of the action. Take control by commenting live and sharing the show with your friends.
Locally owned and family operated, Emerald Water, refreshing the Rod Peterson Show. From reverse osmosis to natural alkaline and distilled water, they are perfect for your home and office. Saskatchewan's number one source for commercial alkaline with natural electrolytes and minerals that are better for your body. Naturally occurring magnesium, calcium, bicarbonate, and potassium are amazing for your health. Trust 30 years of experience and drink water that matters from Emerald Water.
A man's personality and character is exuded through his haircut. Your image is important. Our high-end services range from a traditional haircut and shave to gray blending, beard shaping, and unwanted hair removal. Located at 425 Victoria Avenue East, book your appointment online now at modernmen.ca or call Tammy 306-522-4111. Modern Men, a haircut for the modern man.
For more Rod Peterson on demand, visit rodpeterson.com.